Okay, we are going to reconvene this committee meeting. We are on agenda item number 5, consideration of ONCA 1928. The sponsor has made it into the room, and I'm going to give you the floor to talk about 1928, Congresswoman.
So, following our last meeting that was attended by most of the same group that I believe, have you already identified who's here?
I have identified who's here, okay. And I guess at this point I'd like to invite the chairman and whoever he indicates he wants to fill these chairs to come to the table for this discussion.
So following the last meeting where we were discussing both these bills, which bill are you on?
We're on 1928.
Okay. When we discussed this bill and the next one, we had the opportunity to hear from the CEO and discuss a possible alternative to this bill, which would be to identify a revenue sharing, if you will, arrangement, whereby the net revenue would be identified, and then a percentage of that revenue would come over to the nation. And that's something I contemplated for a while, so I was happy to hear that that was an idea that they embraced as well. So after doing that, I went back and made amendments to the next bill, ONCA 1929. And I have a committee substitute to submit. I submitted that proposed committee substitute to the chair and the CEO and to the chair of this committee for discussion. And if that bill were to pass, then I think that would replace this bill, and this bill I would withdraw. So if I could defer this bill to discussion of the next bill, that would maybe clarify some issues.
Move to... Without objection, I'm going to table ONCA 1928.
Postpone.
Do you want to pull it out during this committee meeting, possibly again?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then it needs to be tabled.
All right.
Okay. So it's tabled for now. We can dispose of it later during this committee meeting, and we're going to move on to consideration of ONCA 1929, an act to amend 14 ONC section 12-101. And section 12-105, and to establish an alternate effective date. I believe Congresswoman Edwards made reference to this, and she did send me I don't know when I received it, but do you have the committee substitute? Have you sent it to a clerk, the clerk of the committee, or just to me?
Nope.
Okay, so she does have a copy of it, because I know I do, but I haven't.
That's not it.
Okay. So I'm giving you the floor to discuss ONCA 1929.
Okay, I'd like to pull it up, the committee substitute. So, the committee substitute proposes that the net gaming revenue after expenses and is it EBITDA?
Ideally.
Okay. And I don't know. We may need a better definition in the law, but so that net revenue would be the distribution to the nation would be a percentage of that number as identified by the previous year's audited financial report. So that at the end of the January timeframe, is that correct? When you guys get that audit. So at the end of that January time frame, there would be a number that would say this is the net revenue that attributable to gaming for the year. We would take that number, not our number, it's actually the auditor's number, or else it's our number as confirmed by the auditor or the auditing company, and we would take that number, and then there would be a division of at least 60% given to the nation as a dividend. That would be included in the annual report, but it's called for in the law, and that would be the number that the nation could rely on for their net, for their revenue projection report and for their spending. So it would come to us by March of any given year. We'd know what it is, and that way the plan of operation that the gaming operation would provide us can move back another month or maybe more if we have this discussion. And because we needed that number early on, we needed it in April, we needed it in July, we needed it earlier than we get it. And in the past, we were getting it, you know, I think we got it a couple weeks ago here, but that was by resolution. We would know what the number is, and that would allow for us to plan based on that number, and then they, being the gaming board, can have a little more, and the gaming operation will have more time to get their plan of operation for the year together. So that's one aspect of it. The other thing that happens, well, it was in the law, it was in the bill as proposed, was that you don't just fall back on a previous plan of operation if you don't pass one. We have precedent where we've passed part of a gaming plan of operation before, and we've approved and disapproved part of a gaming plan of operation. And the law said that if you disapprove part, I guess if you would disapprove part of the gaming plan of operation, you go back to the previous year's plan. And I'm not really sure how that entirely worked, but I do know that, for example, if the gaming plan of operation approves a retention of $50 million for whatever, you know, building the Tulsa Casino, and we don't approve that part of the next plan of operation for the coming year, what sense does it make to say, okay, the gaming operation is going to retain $50 million for building the Tulsa Casino? I mean, really, the Congress needs to get on it and get that part of the plan passed. Now, the Gaming Commission has provided me some input that for auditing purposes, in the past they had the ability to look to that previous plan for an audit, and I'll let Ms. Hembree speak to that issue. But so there is some concern that there's no fallback, and so we can talk about that. I'm glad she was able to voice that concern to me, so we probably ought to hear from her on that issue. And then on the 60-40 revenue split, I sent that off to the board, and I don't know if they discussed it today. I'm assuming they did. I sent them the committee substitute so we can hear from them on that. The next issue that was brought up to me was that there is some language in here regarding the surveillance. And again, that comes from the Gaming Commission. I just asked our legal counsel to review that, and he said it's been in the last two amendments. So maybe we need to discuss that, because it looks like maybe that needs to be changed or come out. I just didn't change that portion of the law, but it may need some work.
Are you referring to the prohibition of what are you referring to in the surveillance?
Can I defer to Ms. Hembree on that?
Yes, if you're ready to go down that, if you're just giving us an overview, we're going to go down all these little trails, then
okay.
Do it later or do it now.
I believe those are the main portions of the bill, of the committee substitute for sure.
And they have this committee substitute?
They do.
Okay. Are you?
I'm ready to have Ms. Hembree explain the issue regarding the surveillance, so we can be thinking about that.
Ms. Hembree, would you, I don't want you just to have to stand at the end of the table. Could somebody get Ms. Hembree a chair?
I gave it to the chair.
I have it, but I have not distributed it. I've kind of been sewn up. Sorry, I didn't get that emailed to you.
I can email it.
To make copies or something?
Yeah,
we can. What other documentation?
Yeah, you can get my email.
Ms. Mott, there's been a request to have this committee substitute printed. Can you get copies? Who at the end of this table or in the audience needs a copy of this committee substitute that we're looking at?
We're good.
Yeah, you guys have it already? I guess just our committee needs copies of it, please.
Sorry. Get your blanket on.
Okay. While our clerk is getting us copies of this, we have it up on the board too. I think that we're in discussion about ONCA 1936. I know we haven't moved to adopt the committee substitute, but it is part of the bill proper, and we're discussing and considering that. So I think we can continue to talk about the committee substitute without adopting it, so we'll know what's in it to know if we want to adopt it or not. So that's my view. If you guys would rather do it a different way, it's fine with me. Congresswoman Pratt.
You're talking about this committee substitute. You said 36, but that's the other one. So I'm just making sure we're still.
I'm talking about, we are on 1936. Excuse me, 1929 committee substitute. Yeah, I looked down a row too much. Yes, we're still on this one. Okay, Ms. Timbrey. I believe that Congresswoman Edwards referred to some point in the committee substitute that, or in the bill that you thought needed some attention, possibly.
Yes, thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you for letting me speak to you today. I was concerned about Section L on page 12, and that would be line 532. And that specific paragraph addresses the board or its employees are not authorized and shall not directly fund any part of the Osage Nation Gaming Commission or any regulatory functions of another agency or entity, including any surveillance function at the Osage Nation casinos. And such funding shall be contained within the budget of Osage Nation Gaming Commission and approved through an appropriation of the Osage Nation Congress. At the beginning of FY16, I believe we met with Congress. Our budget was approximately between $10 and $11 million due to the surveillance, primarily due to the surveillance functions costing about $7 million. And we appealed to you to allow that function. Although we do have oversight of surveillance, they do fund primarily most of the surveillance function. And I just thought that if this was going to be addressed, that it might be something that I could share with Congresswoman Edwards, and we could take a look at also having that corrected as according to what was passed in FY16.
The law was amended in 16.
Yes, ma'am.
To allow for this, and quite possibly you picked up language.
I don't believe it's ever been changed in the Gaming Act.
It has never been changed?
No.
How do we do that?
I think it was done by resolution as opposed to changing this, and I just wanted to bring it to everyone's attention that that might be something that we should look at, just going ahead and making it fit how we are actually doing it.
I think that's a great idea. So
I've asked legal counsel to, if he, I wonder if he heard that. Did you hear us?
Mr. Gill? He listens really good to our meetings.
I just went back and looked at that section. Yeah, it has been in the bill. It was in 1591. It was in 1803. It's currently in the code. It's never been changed. So
okay.
I think there must have been some agreement or meeting of the minds on what that section actually meant to allow the Gaming Commission to move forward the way that they did, but it probably would be advisable to address it.
Thank you, Mr.
So I'm committed to working with Ms. Embry and Mr. Gill to fashion some
thank you.
Some language.
Thank you, Ms. Embry, for bringing that to the committee's attention. So I believe that the Gaming Enterprise Board Chair and the executive staff have had the opportunity to maybe review this committee substitute, and I'm wondering if there's any comment or discussion that we want to have previous to a motion to adopt it.
What I looked at, I didn't get to read it all.
You have to do this, Mr. Sims. There you go.
on, I just got to scan it. Mr. our CEO, he got to read it completely. But I was looking at some of the points that she puts out, and we passed a resolution in the gaming board today that addresses the 60-40. And if we do this in a bill, this could possibly hurt us in the future when we go to borrow money. And I'll let Tim speak to that, to where how it could hurt us in the way that where we either couldn't borrow enough money to do anything or maybe not at all. So as far as some of the points in for like the 60-40, we agree. I mean, we looked at that percentage even before it was brought up. But in being put in the bill, besides it hurting us, everything, like even like the competitive bid bill, these bills put in statute hurt us. You know, we lost money on a competitive bid. I'm afraid that we might run into problems with the banks when we go to borrow. So I'm in favor of the 60-40, but I'm not in favor of being it put in the bill form.
Is there any more discussion about this committee substitute that the sponsors brought forward? No?
Just to add that,
Big Horse.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Hello, everybody. Just to add to what the chairman was saying, the point of putting in a bill could potentially affect us on a credit agreement. Well, I was talking to Elizabeth about the fallback, right, that we had, the kind of mechanism in there that we alluded to earlier. I think that's essential to keep our operations open. We're definitely for discussion about that particular item, but I think that needs to be considered because the commission will hold us to our annual plan. If we're out of compliance, that we run the risk of, I don't want to put words in our mouth, but potential closure, right? I mean, if we're not in compliance with our plans. So just wanted to throw that out there as well.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Okay, so if the gaming board met and you are supportive of the 60-40 split, but not in law, did you all have a suggestion for what you would support, like a MOU or what? I mean, what?
We did it by resolution.
Okay.
And to be put in the annual plan.
I got distracted. The copier is not producing copies right now, so one copy was all that we were able to get off of it. Congresswoman Goodfox just spoke. Was there a response to that from? Okay, and I missed that. Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, one of the problems that we have here is that we have a Supreme Court opinion that says resolutions are not legally binding. So the Constitution also says that the board may present an annual plan. So we have a may in the Constitution, and we have a Supreme Court opinion that says resolutions aren't legally binding. So there's nothing about our approving that annual plan that holds the gaming board legally, or the gaming operation legally, to anything. And to me, if the law says that this is what we're gonna do, then not only can the Congress rely on that and can the people rely on that, but also the banks can rely on that, because up front they know this is Osage law on the issue. It's not gonna change absent it being changed in law. Right now, since the plan approval of the plan is not binding, I'm not sure why the banks would rely on the plan anyway, because the law says net revenue comes to the nation. The plan is just not legally binding and can be changed at any time. So the other response I would have is that, just like today when I talked about what is the purpose of gaming revenue, and one of the main purposes of gaming revenue is to provide for net gaming revenues, to provide for the general welfare of the Osage people. And to me, that trumps borrowing money to do something. So, and we in the past have done a really good job, I believe, of not borrowing a lot of money. This was our kind of our first foray into really a major borrowing undertaking. And I would say we did it on a leap of faith, but I'm hoping that we're not always going to be in a position of having that kind of debt, or not, don't get used to having that kind of debt out there. I know that I don't have a problem with some debt, but I hope we are not in a position of having $180 million worth of debt on a regular basis. So I think that for the purposes of transparency and knowing that we all understand this is, these are the ground rules that we might deviate from by law, but we're not going to deviate at the whim of one person. And I talked to Byron about this. You know, as part of our transparency and our commitment to the people, we need to know that there's a process, and that process has been thought through, and it's not subject to me or anybody else calling up Byron, the gaming board, anybody, and saying, hey, we don't like this, we need to change it. It needs to be a collective decision made by the elected officials of the nation and working with the executive branch gaming board and sticking with that. So it's my belief that this is where it belongs, and at that point, if there's a deviation from it, it could be deviated by law. It could be deviated. I just don't think we need to deviate from it. I think it needs to be a priority that the gaming revenue go, a percentage of the gaming revenue go to the general welfare of the nation for the three things that I talked about earlier today.
Thank you. Any more comments or questions about Mr. Steinke? And I also have an executive session if we need to go into it under this agenda item.
Sure. And I believe we can probably generalize it enough to where we can talk openly about this.
Good.
And I would just like to say that in cooperation with the board, there is that spirit here to work with this body to make as much as we can to push over for the general welfare of the Osage people. So the reason that we would possibly go into a little bit more debt is we're at the kind of life cycle at a couple of our properties. We have squeezed every single juice of life out of a few properties that need to be addressed. And it is not our intention to have this debt any longer than need be. I think with this agreement with the board, with this split, this gives us that opportunity to retire as much as that as possible and still maximize the tribal distribution at the same time. Just want to say that.
Well, I have Mr. Steinke, I'd like to
recommend. I was just going to chime in with Byron on that point. In reference to our debt, our current borrowings that we have, I think it's important to note that the nation is a co-borrower here. So whether it's projects that we are borrowing money for, or projects that we would be, because we are the portion of cash flow, and the type of lending that is out there available to us is cash flow lending, right? It's not just hampers our ability for projects, but it hampers our ability to help the nation fund projects such as Bluestem Ranch. And we know from recent conversations that if it goes into a law, then it becomes a preference at the banking level, and that's the issue. I think going back to the resolution or the annual plan, there's obviously a precedence that's been established. There's multi-year history that's been established, and good faith that, you know, we're not going to fail to fulfill our obligations in transferring or distribution of 60% or whatever the number is to the nation.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just curious to know if anybody can enlighten the table on other gaming enterprises and how they function in this type of shared revenue agreement. Is it this what you all have done today in your meeting? And then my second part of question, I can hold it for later. It has to do with the safety net issue. I know we're not talking about that now, so I can come back to that later. That
okay.
Would be best.
Chairman Sims.
I checked with the Cherokee. I knew some of the Cherokees over there that handled their gaming enterprise, and they give 57% of their tribal distribution. And so I think when we give 60%, that's beating what the Cherokee do. We'll never be the biggest, not even the second biggest. But if we can maintain our properties where we can make money, and by expanding and building some of these properties, every time we build a property, it's going to make money. Yes, and debt is good, because if we can pay down the debt by building these, so it, but if we go to putting a statute in to where we had to talk with banks, and, you know, Congresswoman Edwards, she should have maybe talked with the banks to see and the gaming board and the casino on discussing what she's proposing now. So it, I think then she would see where we're coming from. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
I didn't get an answer.
Thank you, Chairman Sims. So I guess I need to state my question plainer. I apologize. So what do other, does anyone know here at the table what other gaming boards do or what practices they, what they practice as far as the shared agreement? Do they do it by resolution like you all did today? Is it in their law, their tribal law? Just if, does anyone know here at the table?
Okay. Is there an answer to the question, Mr. Big Horse?
Yes, thank you. So we will have to research how that process is established internally with those entities, but there is a revenue-sharing model that a lot of competing tribes have adopted, and it could be just from an internal agreement with their entities. But we will definitely look at if it is a law or not.
Thank you.
Mr. Steinke?
In terms of the methodology to get to the number, in speaking with numerous reputable banks that are in the commercial and tribal gaming space, it's either one of two ways. The way we've done it in the past, a certain agreeable number of X millions of dollars, and then a percentage split. That is probably 90% of the tribal gaming operations do it that way.
Congressman Edwards.
So I think that describes how tribes might do it, but the vehicle, your question, which is a good one, the vehicle through which they make their agreement known is what your question was. And my response is I have seen tribal councils pass in their form of government, which is a resolution form of government. I've seen them pass resolutions that adopt that, and those resolutions have the effect of law, unlike the Supreme Court opinion that we have that says that's not the, that our resolutions do not have the effect of law. And then the other thing I would say, and I ask Kimberly if we could get a copy of your resolution. I don't know if it says for this year or until revoked or until changed. Does anybody know? What the resolution said.
In perpetuity. No, I'm just, I
believe
that, it says.
That might
It says
me.
For the coming year, annual plan. I don't believe that the board's intent was to change that in any way for, until it, I think what we want to get to, and I don't want to speak for Chairman or Ms. Malone here, but we want to get to the point where we're out of debt and then we're pushing more money to the Congress, because at that point we won't have the debt service. We will be able to change that 60-40 split into a better ratio at that time, but I think this is our starting off point, our metric.
I have a response to that. So that's what I'm trying to get away from in this bill, is an annual
negotiation.
Yeah, right. Hey, I mean, I would like for us to know in January of every year, because we hopefully at some point we'll have a revenue commission that will be looking at numbers, and they won't have to go through the guessing game of what's it going to be this year, or what's it going to be in April, and what's it going to be in June, and what's it going to be in September, because that's happened before too. That number has jumped from in a period of months.
Three times.
And when you talk about wanting to be able to tell a bank, this is what we've committed to, and this is what we're going to do, I think that having this is much better than having a bank look and see, well, you changed the number three different times. And I don't know that that was ever, you know, maybe it's in I know that it was in a pro forma or a model, forecast model, but I never saw a commitment, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that this is what the dividend to the nation is going to be under this borrowing plan.
That model was agreed upon. The model from March of 2016.
And it's included in the contract?
Yeah, it signed off by all the banks that signed off on the loan agreement.
Well, then how did it change?
The travel distribution?
Yeah.
By request. I that was beyond my control. Parties approved it. It was approved by our board. The bank's kind of taken the position at this point in time, I'm making an assumption here, that as long as we're providing our debt service, they're not asking too many questions, but that doesn't mean that they may ask in the future.
Well, again, I think it would be better for the banks to be able to rely on something that, you know, Osage law that says this is what they're going to do, this is how it's going to work, and not have to be faced with, by the way, I don't want the nation to be faced with, we made an agreement that this is what we were going to do, and 4 months later, the board and the Congress and the chief changed it. I actually was not under the impression that we were committed contractually to limit ourselves to a distribution.
Chairman Sims.
First of all, the chief can't change anything that the gaming board does or the casino does. But we have gone in, and like my CEO, Byron, says, we have squeezed these properties. If we're not able to continue expanding and building, this statute would hurt us. It takes away our flexibility, and that hurts. And so, you know, for a business like the gaming, we have functioned very good, and the nation has profited quite well. Now we want to make a law. This really shows us faith in our gaming. You know, that I think Congresswoman Edwards put it, the tail wagging the head, so to speak. Well,
the dog.
The chief has appointed us, and the Congress has confirmed us to do the business with the casino without the interference of the Congress coming in and dictating by law this is what happened, has to be done. That's been done before, and it cost us thousands of dollars and time. I don't know what the ramification of this is going to be, but it will affect us borrowing. So, you know, I would hope the Congress would think about that before they make a decision.
Well, I have a comment here. When we did enter the end of the loan agreement, the terms of the note with Bank of Oklahoma, the enacted Tribal Gaming Reform Act says that 100% of the revenues come to the tribe. That's actually what statute reads right now, and that net retention may be requested in the annual plan of operation. And we have performed in that way. But actual statute says 100% of net revenues comes to the nation. So to me, if the Bank of Oklahoma had a problem with how the tribal statute read at 100%, this is even letting off what code and statute actually says right now. Mr. Steinke. Yeah.
I can't speak to their level of comfort. That's certainly a question for them, and maybe it's a question we need to ask at this time. My speculation is the only way that they got comfortable with that is because they did establish the nation as a co-borrower, okay? And we know that that wasn't necessarily an ideal situation, that they have the ability to attach themselves to certain assets of the nation, which we've always talked about as something we would like to have removed, to where it's only they can attach themselves to the assets of the gaming enterprise.
That's news to me, because I didn't realize that they could attach themselves to the nation's assets.
The nation has been a co-borrower since day one.
I knew that they were, but I thought that the only assets pledged were those of the earnings of the gaming enterprise.
All the cash flow, but I believe, without further legal review, that both parties are on that note. So
I agree with that. Yeah. They are, but I thought that what was pledged were the assets of the gaming.
I think it may extend beyond that.
It excluded the nation. Congresswoman Pratt, I'd recognize you.
Thank you. I would like to say that obviously we need some clarity. That was one thing that was mentioned in the one other meeting that we've had regarding this discussion, and I don't think we have any more clarity, but there are two people sitting at this table who voted for that, and I just want to make sure that we're clear on that, on the regarding the ranch expansion loan. So we need more clarity, and there's obviously more discussion. It's not going to get worked out right now, I don't think. So I would like to move to table ONCA 1928 and 29 to the call of the chair.
I see Congresswoman Lemon has her hand up for.
Do you need me to withdraw for discussion?
Excuse me 1 minute, I'm getting some.
She tabled it rather than postpone it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That motion would only be proper for.
One at a time?
1929 right now. We have we have 28 parked on the table. We'll have to pull it from the table to move anything on that.
Okay, then I move to postpone ONCA 1929 to the call of the chair.
I have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. I'm going to recognize Congresswoman Lemon and then Congresswoman Edward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with Congresswoman Pratt. I was just on the point of clarity. I was wanting to go down another little pathway that Ms. Hembree had brought up and Congresswoman Edwards alluded to earlier, and that was the safety net, because we've been talking about the 60-40 the whole entire time and how we're going to get there and what's the best way to do it. But I'd just like to know if we get more clarity on ideas for the safety net when we come back to visit it again. That was something else to research, other options that maybe other gaming enterprises do or what you do have, because we haven't had an opportunity to visit about that just yet. But I agree with the postponement. Thank you.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So who at the Bank of Oklahoma would you suggest would be the person that would speak to the issue of bank expectations when it comes to borrowing and pledging assets of the Osage Nation?
Jared Compton.
Congresswoman Pratt.
I just wanted to say, I'll withdraw if we want to continue to discuss, but there's a lot to discuss, and that's where the motion is to table it. So, and we've extended, we're talking of extending session. We'll have more meetings. This is the second meeting on this. We've met four or five times on the other bill, and I want to keep moving.
All in favor of the motion to postpone to the call of the chair? Was that the motion?
Yes.
Please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it's been tabled. We still have the, yes, does anybody want to, without, please.
Move to a brief recess.
Second.
10, 5, okay. 5 minutes.
I was not looking for a recess, but I was looking to pull this off the table and dispense of it.
Well,
and
move Joe forward. Took off. I was like, yep, I'm for that. I need to, I'm sorry. Okay, what am I pulling?
Yes. We're going to, chair would entertain a motion to pull ONC 1928 off the table.
So moved.
All in favor, say second. I have a motion to second. Say yes.
Yes.
I did entertain a motion to postpone to the call of the chair.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's postponed. Now we are down to agenda item number 8. 1920, do we want to continue plugging on, or do you want to go into, I don't need a recess, but we can.
I need a cup of ice.
Did I say 29 that time? 36 is what I meant.
If y'all maintain a quorum, I'm just going to step out for a cup of ice, if y'all want to keep rolling.
I'll make a motion for a brief recess.
Second.
Okay, we have about a 10-minute recess, and then we're going to move on to other actually, it might go into 15. I need to make some copies of a... So we're in recess.
Like toddlers, everybody just
All right, I got to grab something.
I would like my copy of the bill as well.